Hey, welcome in, everybody. Brad Logan alongside our chief legal analyst on the Talk of Champions, John Cox. In person, John, and a little bit different than, I guess you could say, Pittsburgh, Mississippi, and then the world of, you know, the legal renderings of you on Zoom. We're here face-to-face. A lot going on in the world of college athletics. Kind of your overall thoughts out of what's happened over here the last, what, couple of months?
Yeah, it's, you know, the beauty of college athletics is it's always evolving. And, Brad, it's a matter of, you know, what's tomorrow going to bring? And ever since we were in Pittsburgh and hanging out, seeing whether or not Trinidad was going to get eligible, a lot's changed. I mean, every day it seems like, you know, we said then, I think with Sudu, I talked about it, another lawsuit's going to be filed. I mean, in every lawsuit, and, you know, you've had rulings come down. Congress has tried again. Nick Saban has gone and talked, and you know, when Nick Saban talks, I guess people listen. And then the NCAA
until he comes to Oxford in a couple months, that's not going to be pleasant.
It won't. That we can talk about that. September 19th will be. We may have need legal wranglings in other ways. But yeah, and then the NCAA reacted last week with some rulings or some rule changes, proposed rule changes. So we'll see.
The world of NIL is also fresh and new. You and I during pre-production here talked a lot about, you know, Tom Mars, who we both talked to, really likes this new ruling. Can you kind of break down from the best of your ability this new 5-for-5 thing that everybody's kind of pushing?
Yeah, I mean, one of the problems or one of the issues that you had with the previous rule was, you know, for time eternal in college sports, you had 5 years to play 4.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when did that clock start? Question one. Does it pause? Question two, because I mean, if you have you get a red shirt, everyone's heard of that. Then you have the medical red shirt, like in Trinidad's case.
Yeah,
a great example of someone that Ole Miss and Trinidad argued successfully that he should have received a medical red shirt, and did not. Fair State?
Fair State, yes.
And they all run together. I apologize. But anyway, you get that. So the NCAA reacts to that and says, "I tell you what, we're going to make this uniform from the minute you reach, I believe it's your 19th birthday." As of this time, you have 5 years to play 5 years, to play 5 seasons. No exceptions, nothing from there. So, you know, you could argue that eliminates red shirts. You won't need it. In other words, you'll say, well, I don't need my red shirt year. I'll just have my 5th year coming up if for some reason I don't play. And they're still getting it. They'll tweak that rule, I guess. But the reason why it was interesting, I saw you mentioned Tom Morris. He jumps on social media and says that this is the first rule that made sense from the NCAA and time eternal. And he may be right on that point because it'll eliminate someone in Trinidad's case wouldn't have a case. You would come back and say, well, internally, you had 5 years to play 5. There was no discretion, for lack of a better way. You know, because Trinidad's thing was, should he have gotten a medical red shirt? Mm-hmm. Was he physically able to play that year? Would he have gotten it had they applied or something like that? Well, it won't matter because they'll say you have 5 years to play 5 seasons. And there you go.
The Brendan Sorsby, which is no correlation to Trinidad Champions, but I would like your thoughts from a legal standpoint. Texas Tech really fought and had the hostage video about why he should be able to play. Obviously, he didn't. And now the NFL's kicking back. And they're saying now that maybe, I don't know what the summer league professional football program is that you can play, but it's to the point to where, were you surprised at all from a legal standpoint to where Texas Tech was really adamant, but yet all these ADs kind of banded together and it's like, we're not dealing with this.
Yeah. That's the end of days.
Yeah.
If he's eligible. I mean, he was betting. And even though he wasn't the starting quarterback or anything like that, I think he admitted he was betting in his games on, you know, the stuff that he was around. And, you know, as Pete Rose will tell you, mm-hmm. there is one thing you can't do in sports, and that is bet.
Yeah.
You know, if you look historically, what has been the cardinal sin has been point shaving and betting. And then next thing you know, that one judge comes out and says, oh, well, he's eligible, which was the personification of, let me go get the local judge to rule on it. But, I mean, there was going to be so much blowback on Texas. There are people like not scheduling them and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that just totally flies in the, the spirit of competition. You want kids to compete, not bet on their competition while they're competing. I mean, it ruins the integrity of the sport.
Other issues that are going on. After the Trinidad ruling in Pittsburgh, the quarterback for Tennessee, and his name escapes me, you may know who I'm talking
about. Aguilar.
Aguilar. He was denied. What were some of the specifics of that case, for best of your
recollection? I didn't really, because
I didn't follow it.
I was crashing hard on Trinidad at that time. I know that it was not apples to apples. It was interesting. You know, a lot of the guys that left Trinidad's here, and NCAA guys, they went on order and argued that the next day. You know, I think his was more of an eligibility. Didn't have anything to do with the medical red shirt. So I don't really know, honestly.
When the whole world of NIL started, it was all that, you know, this is going to allow athlete A to be able to use their name, image, and likeness to sponsor or have sponsorships for advertising and that sort of thing. That's obviously not how it has been intended. And so it's almost like a true testament to the toothpaste is out of the tube. In your opinion, when the ruling came down in NIL with the athlete from UCLA and to where we are now, this is a really open-ended question, but what went wrong in your opinion?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know it's just kind of a big question. But
well, I mean, the O'Bannon case, that's the young man from UCLA. And I'm going to show my age. If any of my old college roommates are watching, we used to play the game that Ed O'Bannon was number 31 UCLA. You know, he looked up one day and said, wait a second, that's me. I'm left-handed. Where am I? You know, we used to play, I think it was Coach K's college basketball.
I think that's right.
That's exactly right. So anyway, yes, in the perfect world, it was NIL deal. You know, you're going to go and you'll get sponsored and you know, they'll be compensated for their name, image, and likeness. If Ole Miss is going to make money off of Trinidad Chambliss, or I'll back up. I'll give you a great example. I was at LSU one time. I know we probably can't say LSU, but they come shoot us. But anyway, I was at the school in Baton Rouge, and I was there on it was basketball season, I think. Anyway, I walked by the bookstore, and Fournette was the running back then.
I remember that.
And the entire window were Fournette jerseys, number 7.
That's it.
Jerseys. And you can't help but think, kids get no money for that. Yeah. That is him. That's who they're – you see it at Ole Miss. You see number 10. Go to Mississippi State where everybody wears
especially number 15. Especially when Eli was playing. Right, right. Everybody wanted a number 10 jersey.
That's right. You go to go to Mississippi State now, and I mean, I still laugh that everybody wears a number 15 jersey.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, 10 years later, and they're wearing Dak jerseys. Whatever. Obviously so.
That's
yeah.
right. So that sounds great. You know, on the paper, we're going to do all that. Now, the question comes in, number one, how do you control it? Which we've proven you can't.
Yeah.
And number two, how, I guess, what is an NIL deal? I mean, and then number three, and now, God bless them, these collectives pop up. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, I'll tell you what, why don't you just run everything through us, and we'll have I'm going to go pick on somebody else other than this podcast. We'll have a bulldog collective. I don't know if there's a such thing. But a bulldog collective, you know, you'll just appear for us, make these appearances for us, and we'll pay you X amount for these percent, you know, these appearances. I think that's not really how it started. It started because universities were making money off their name, image, and likeness. And now you're in essence paying to have them show up. I guess that's still that broadly is the NIL, but I mean you're just paying the players. I mean, and man, that it is the wild, wild west out there right now.
Is it in your legal opinion that the NCAA was pretty battered coming into the ruling of the world of NIL? And it feels like that was a knockout blow to that organization because they have really handled the world of NIL incredibly poorly, in my opinion. Was that kind of the death blow to the NCAA in regards to major college football? Now, I think the NCAA will always have a place in your Olympic sports.
Yeah.
For the most part, maybe even men's and women's basketball and baseball. But for major college football, it felt like that was a bit of a death blow.
Yeah, I mean, I think the death blow came when they brought that and they showed how much money they make, you know, off name, image, and likeness through EA Sports or whatever the games are. And, you know, you see the and then you realize that, I guess it was the bowl championship series before we had the college football playoff. And then if you really want to see a great one, you mentioned, but college basketball, you know, the CBS TV rights or whoever, TNT or True TV, the TV right, the broadcast rights, right? You know, these universities are making mints. I mean, millions upon millions of dollars. So the death blow comes in when it's like, okay, you're doing this and the players are not getting any of that. But if they don't, and then the university, and my man Ben's not here from to jump on it with me, they won't call them employees.
Yeah.
They call them student. They won't go into collective bargaining. They, you know, they won't let them, their fear of them unionizing out there. And because of that, it was like, okay, well, they're student athletes. We're not paying them. You're not, they're not getting a fair chance. It's almost indentured servants or, you know, I get in trouble when I say this all the time. It's a plantation mentality. It's, you know, that's their argument that they come in and say, oh, well, you know, we're just here working for you. Let me know. You go continue to sell out Vault Hemingway and give all this money and do all this. And we'll just go, you know, continue. You can no longer, Brad, you can't just say, well, you go free to school.
Yeah.
You can't. You just can't. Money's way out of whack.
If, and I don't want to ask you the obvious question that everybody is probably asking itself as they're watching us here on the Talk of Champions, but how do you fix it? And I'm not just going to throw that out there, but if you were to tweak some things, what would you do in the world of college athletics? Is this just the SEC and the Big Ten seceding from whatever organization there is? Is this a situation where the NCAA grabs a hold of something and says, we're going to legislate this? Is this a situation where you reach out to the NFL and start talking about a minor league system for some form of collective bargaining? Do you partner with the NFL? Do you go off on your own? What direction right now in June of 2026 do you think college football needs to go?
Man, if I'm right, can I get a job doing this? Can I become the commissioner?
You have to fight Saban and thank you all for that job.
You know, I'm getting lying. From the NCAA's perspective, 5 for 5 is a start.
Yeah.
It's a start for ending some of the lawsuits, eligibility, whatever. But that's not really going to solve your NIL problem, okay? Money controls the world. I mean, and so, yes, I mean, I've said it. I may have said it on your shows before, and I'll say it again. What happens one day when the SEC wakes up and says, I'm going on my own? Big Ten says, I'll go with you. Well, you know who's going to also go with you? TV. And with TV comes money. And then at that point, maybe the NCAA still has its own little creature out there. You know, Division II is in trouble. Division III is in trouble. Right now, they're in trouble because of the money. I mean, the lower D1s are in trouble because of money. I mean, does NIL just create a, like you see, you called it a minor league. I mean, yeah, I mean, you've created a different tier that I don't know the solution to that other than if they regulate themselves, if they become their own world and they regulate themselves. I know no one likes to hear that, but all this going to take is one person. And, you know, Sankey has admitted they've had these conversations in the room. If the SEC actually gets serious about that, I mean, you can say, well, they would never leave the NCAA. Well, why not? If TV is going to go with you, their money's going to go there.
Yeah.
The players will go there. Why not go on your own and then legislate yourself? They may call them, create your own collective bargaining agreement, do whatever, create it, or your own minor league. And there are purists, I'm one of them, that I like college sports, that will say you have bastardized college sports. It's 2026. It isn't 1996 anymore.
Let's stay along the lines of, and I hate to use the word mid-major, but I want to throw something out at you. You caught a lot of football for ESPN back in the day. A lot of it's Division II. But I want to stay along the lines of, for example, Stephen F. Austin, a team like HBCU and Jackson State, a lower-end Sun Belt team, and not to say that the Southern or Lafayette or Ooh-La-La or any of those teams in the Sun Belt, but is there a world in which you have teams like Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Ohio State, Colorado? Do they have their own thing? Is there a world in which exists that the Sun Belt and the American, to a certain extent, are a part of another league that has their own national championship? And then you break away with – and I mistakenly said Colorado. What I was thinking was teams in the Big Ten, teams in the SEC have their own – whatever, and then the rest of the major Division I teams have whatever. What is that? Is there a world for that?
I mean, I think that's where you're heading. I mean, it's a, I'll call it the haves and the have nots,
yeah.
which probably isn't fair to say. I mean, if I were, I mean, I've lived the small college world before. You know, again, it goes where the eyeballs go, and money goes where eyeballs go, and players go where eyeballs go because they all want to get to the next level. And so, yeah, I mean, there's that world. I mean, what you're looking at is, you know, now it used to be, and I'm going to answer your question, but I'm going to take a roundabout way of getting there. It used to be Division II was here. Okay. And if you wanted to survive on a Division II program, you needed money because they're not obviously as well funded. So where did you go get your money a lot of times? You went and got money games from the Stephen F. Austins of the world or whatever. Well, because there was, you know, enough to go around. You know, Del State wasn't going to get a game. Division II school was not going to get a game from Nebraska.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Well, now those lower tier mid-majors, they're not giving D2 games anymore because they need the money. They don't have any money either. So where are they going? They're going up into the big boys. You know, let me go get who came to Ole Miss last year.
Was it Central Arkansas?
They, a couple years
Georgia ago. Georgia State.
Georgia. Yeah, you get Georgia State. Yeah. You get, you know, the Woffords, I think, of Georgia, the world.
Wofford.
You know, they come in.
Charlotte's coming, yeah, in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you come in and, you know, you collect your, you know, big check in exchange for, you know, 70-0, 70-10 shellacking or something like that. So that kills D2. You're dropping here. Because more and more schools are trying to get into the D1 world because that's the only way they're going to get those money games anymore. Okay, so but to answer your question, now you've got to think to yourself, okay, well, I got to have this money. I got to have this money. Well, what happens when the SEC looks up and says, the Big Ten looks up and says, you know what, we're just going to play each other.
Yeah.
As crazy as it sounds, we're just going to play each other into two conferences. We'll play, or two districts. We'll create our own playoff system. Money's going to go with us. You don't have to worry about not making the playoff system. But you know what? We're not screwing with the mid-major who's going to have mm-hmm. to come in. We're not going to have to do whatever. We're going to get in. The money's going to follow us. We have enough money to make it work. So then what happens? The mid-majors, they do have to create their own league, so to speak, at that point. And, you know, look, I mean, there's plenty of – I don't know if there's enough money for everybody. There's plenty of viewership for everybody. In essence, what you've done is you've created a Division II out of the Division I, if you follow what I'm saying here. I mean, but I think what will happen is I think those two leave the top levels. They leave the NCAA.
I firmly believe you and I both being just college football junkies. If you have a Big Ten versus SEC and you have a major college football playoff, I have no doubt that if on television on a Thursday night and you've got Louisiana Lafayette versus Colorado State in the second round of the NCAA playoffs, I'm all in.
Oh, yeah.
I mean just insert Mountain West or whatever they call themselves now, Utah with Dan Mullen. That's a great story. They're going to be really good this year versus Southern Miss versus Memphis versus East Carolina. I'm watching that. I think if people would just allow themselves to see the forest for the trees and allow the big boys to do what they're going to do and understand that the NCAA has a place for a Division I college football playoff that doesn't include the big boys, I truly believe that's the direction that would be best for everybody if they would allow themselves to do that.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm thinking out loud, which I'll probably get in trouble for saying this. But you know, besides sports junkies, you know what's going to keep that watching? Vegas.
Yeah.
People will
It's a lot of games to bet on.
Yes. People are
and you could actually incorporate the bowl games that are suffering right now, like the Liberty Bowl. And I'm not saying that the Liberty Bowl is suffering. I'm just saying the bowl games that are not a part of the college football playoff. There could be a way for the Sun Bowl and for the Pop-Tart Bowl and insert bowl here that we love. We love those bowl games, but let's make them significant. Let's make the Gator Bowl. Let's make the Citrus Bowl mean something. And I think that's a place for that. So
Well, I'll say this. And until you've been at a lower level, and you and I have both been around the smaller colleges, it's still a championship. It's still us, you know. Yeah, do we, you know, you can get into the argument, well, are you as good as Ohio State? Probably not.
Yeah.
They'd kill us if we played. But you know what? On December 10th, 2001 in Florence, Alabama, I watched Delta State win a national championship.
And if you right now, and Steve Campbell, who we love, if Steve were sitting in between us, we said, hey, Coach, Let's go back to Florence just for a second and talk about that. What's going to happen?
He's going to get excited.
He's going to get really excited. He's going to light up. He's going to talk about Josh Bright. He's going to talk about all these players. To your point, that means something to a lot. It means something to you and I. We did never strap the helmet on for Delta State, but it means a lot.
Enjoy where you are. You are, you know, you hear Pete Golding say this all the time, and I think he stole it from Nick Saban. You are where your feet are.
Yeah.
You know, there can only be one national champion at the highest level, but you know what? You can be a champion at whatever level they create. That there's plenty of, you know, one of my things I try to teach my children, and this has nothing to do with football, but I think it does apply. There's plenty of success in this world for everyone. You know, and I know that sounds crazy. We're at an Ole Miss podcast. I know Ole Miss plays at a higher level and wants to play at that higher level. That's cool. But
we have allegiances at other places.
That's right.
And everybody watching us and listening to us, they have an allegiance to another program that may not be as high profile as Ole Miss.
But if you want to save college sports, you have to think macro.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Summer is supposed to be relaxing, right? But if you're anything like me, sometimes it feels like the exact opposite. Between work, family, travel, kids' schedules, and trying to keep up with everything else life throws at you, it's easy to spend the whole summer surviving instead of actually enjoying it. I know for me, one of the biggest challenges is making time for myself. There's always another story to write, another podcast to record, another event to cover. Before you know it, the calendar is full and you've never really slowed down. That's one reason therapy can be so valuable. It can help you better understand your needs, set boundaries, and build a version of summer that actually feels good instead of one that leaves you exhausted. BetterHelp has more than 30,000 licensed therapists and has served more than 6 million people worldwide. A short questionnaire helps match you with a therapist based on your needs and preferences. And if you don't feel like it's the right fit, you can switch to another therapist at any time. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com/TOC. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/TOC. One thing I've learned over the years doing this job is that you never really know what somebody else is carrying. We spend a lot of time talking football, recruiting, and Ole Miss. But life's a lot bigger than sports. Everybody goes through seasons where they need somebody to talk to. That's one reason I found BetterHelp's latest State of Stigma report interesting. BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise. Yet 74% say society discourages people from doing so. It's kind of a reminder that even though we've gotten better about talking about mental health, asking for help can still be difficult. If somebody in your life is struggling, don't be afraid to encourage them to talk to someone. Sometimes having that conversation is the hardest step. Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com. Anybody who's ever tried to book a hotel room in Oxford, Mississippi for an SEC weekend knows how quickly travel costs can add up. And honestly, the same thing applies for family vacations, beach trips, music festivals, or even getting away for a few days. That's why Outdoorsy is such a cool option. Outdoorsy is the most trusted RV rental marketplace in the country. And they make it incredibly easy to rent an RV or camper without actually owning one. There are thousands of options nationwide, many of them right in your own neighborhood, and you've got choices. You can drive it yourself, tow it, or my favorite option, have it delivered and fully set up at your destination. Plus, there's built-in peace of mind with comprehensive insurance, 24/7 customer support, and roadside assistance included. And especially for families or larger groups, it can often be more affordable than booking multiple hotel rooms. Whether you're planning the ultimate Ole Miss tailgate, a family vacation, or just looking to turn the drive into part of the adventure, Outdoorsy is worth checking out. Talk of Champions listeners can get all service fees removed from their booking in 2026 with code TOC at Outdoorsy.com. That's Outdoorsy, OUTDOORSY.com. And use my promo code TOC for Talk of Champions at checkout to remove service fees. That's Outdoorsy, a proud sponsor of Talk of Champions.
Right.
You have to think of the big picture and understand that you've got to be able to, you need to go support these other programs or else they'll die on a vine.
Yeah.
And you'll look, and it may not matter. I mean, maybe the money all goes so we can go finish 12th in the new Super Conference. I don't know.
He's John Cox. He is our chief legal analyst on the Talk of Champions Network. We appreciate John and all of his legal insight. When we come back after this timeout, we're going to talk about Ole Miss. We're going to look at that schedule and get John's thoughts about the upcoming season. Couldn't do what we do without all of our sponsors, and we appreciate everybody that makes the Talk of Champions. You're listened to every single day. Let's take a timeout. When we come back,
we'll businesses from the whims of nature. You need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
Rebels, your truck is here. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Oxford presents the all-new Ram Rebel. It's Ram, the Rebel way. Send an unmistakable signal. Rebel, 24/7. Ram Rebel, from your friend in the car business. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Oxford.
Come by, let's be friends. I'm Warrior Philip Hearn. Raising my family here in Mississippi, I've tried to teach my kids to help others. I learned that from my parents. And as a Mississippi lawyer, I want to help you too. If you're hurt in a traffic accident, 18-wheeler wreck, or have insurance trouble, call 601-720-3541. That's my cell. You call, I'll answer. Let's get started. Make your first call to the Hearn Law Firm today.
Bye, babe.
Let's get to work.
Advanced technology to accelerate business growth. There's more to see.
Start my weekend.
C-Spire, customer inspired.
Life is made up of moments. We care about those moments as much as you do. We are Modern Woodmen, a fraternal financial services organization. Member-owned, not stockholder-run. Since 1883, we've supported families, strengthened communities, and helped people reach their financial goals. From protection to saving to retirement planning, let us help you plan for those special moments in your life. We are Modern Woodmen of America.
And we appreciate Modern Woodmen of America. I want to say a special thank you to Shed Hunger. Of Modern Woodmen of America, Shed can help you with any plan in regards to life insurance, a variety of tools, including your annuities, mutual funds, and variable annuities. Just give Shed a call today, 662-442-4723. He can meet you in Winona or anywhere in between. Shed is a good dude and a proud sponsor here on the Talk of Champions. We appreciate Shed and all of our sponsors. And John, I want to talk to you briefly about the upcoming schedule. It, you know, I've said all along, we said on the show yesterday that, or at least I told Ben, I was like, Ole Miss could be more talented and Ole Miss could have a worse year or worse, you know, win-loss ratio because of how the schedule shakes out. And it's just, it's quite difficult.
Oh my, I mean, everyone in the SEC, they're in a gauntlet right now. You know, you've added the SEC games to the schedule, but just think of Ole Miss opens with Louisville. You know, that Jeff Rom, he can coach football. Mm-hmm. They beat Miami last year. And so, you know, don't count that as an automatic win. They're good. Then you have Charlotte that comes in.
It's Charlotte before the LSU game.
And then the LSU. But, I mean, there's a world. And I think a world that, I mean, to be real, you have to say there's a real world where Ole Miss could be 1-2 at the end of the LSU game, mm-hmm. just quite simply. You know, and at that point in the old days, you'd be like, man, I got to win out to make the playoffs. Well, we hadn't even gotten to Florida, who's the next week after that LSU game at Florida. You've got Texas looming on that schedule. I mean, the rest
in
of
it. In Austin.
The rest of the schedule is there. And you're like, oh, my Lord. So, I mean, we were talking off air a minute ago. There's going to be a three-loss team make the playoffs. Who it is, you can't – that third loss either better be really early and to someone credible or really late into someone credible. You know, once you've kind of established street cred, for lack of a better way to put it. You know, but it's not – don't think, oh, I'm the sky's falling on Ole Miss when I say this. I mean, LSU opens with Clemson. Ole Miss is week three. Texas A&M is right after it.
Yeah, I mean, LSU could be 1-2
I mean,
after Ole Miss.
They could be 1-2 after Ole Miss. There's a real possibility. I mean, and the problem – or the problem you have, it used to be that we could look and we could look at the schedule. Oh, well – and this is the plus side for Ole Miss. Let me say this. This is where we as Rebel fans should take a little bit of solace. It used to be that we could say – oh, we've got this coming back and we're going to be good or something like that. Well, now you don't know what anybody has because they're all playing in, you know, different stadiums. I mean, they've all the transfer portal has changed the world. The plus side for Ole Miss is we do return a very solid nucleus, you know, especially now with the portals there defensively, you know, we've rebuilt some things. But on, I mean, you've got arguably the best running back in the nation and arguably the best quarterback in the nation. And college football is one. Defensive line, offensive line, quarterback, and running back. You got two of the four.
And they're loaded on offense. Obviously, you got some question marks at offensive tackle. Kyrus Kern has got to get his head screwed back on right. So there's some questions there. Obviously, the loss of Deshaun Stribling at wide receiver is something you have to look at. But, I mean, they've got Gill and Cook coming in from Syracuse. There's some younger players that need to step up. So, defensively, I have no doubt that Ole Miss is going to be so much better than last year. Once again, the schedule is going to be daunting. If you look at the games that Ole Miss has, John, what are some games that really pop? I mean, we've talked about the LSU game. They're at Oklahoma, which I think is going to be an incredibly difficult game. They're at Texas. You've got Arch Manning you got to deal with. I think they're going to be loaded because you've got who's the receiver from Auburn? They transferred over. There was the best player in the country. Cam Coleman's coming in. He's going to be a part of that Texas team. Then you got to deal with Auburn and Alex Golish coming to Oxford. And we haven't even talked about Austin Simmons and Caden Lee coming back to Oxford from Missouri. It is an incredible schedule. And, oh, by the way, Georgia's got some revenge on their mind when they come to Oxford. So it is a gauntlet, as you put it. I think you put it very well. It's a gauntlet.
Well, I think the – Lord, I should grow up and become a football coach with this great trite statement I'm getting ready to make. The most important game is the first game.
I mean, you talked about Louisville and Jeff Brohm.
You have to go win. If you're Ole Miss, you have to circle that and say, I've got to basically win my non-conference games. So and Louisville is a little bit of a program with some cachet. Like I mentioned, they beat Miami. You know, that's at a neutral site, so you'll get a little bit of, you know, voter gold. I say it's all about getting street cred. Because, you know, Ole Miss is in a good spot that we don't know what you're going to open preseason, but I would imagine you're top seven in the country. What do you think? And so,
yeah, at least.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's top 10.
It's good to start ish. There.
Yeah.
So you go win that game that shows you, you know, you kind of justify it. You get through. Yeah. The LSU game. And I mean, dear Lord, it's taking a life of its own right now, but that's not the end all be all. Then the big game to me is Florida.
A lot of people, Ben said that.
You've got to go to Florida. You've got to go into the swamp. That is a tough, tough place to play, to which Ole Miss does not, you know, did not play well a couple years ago.
Oh, I don't have to tell you, the last time Ole Miss won there, Shea Hodge knows very well. It's 2008. 90-yard
touchdown.
Yeah, and like Ole Miss said that's when they beat Tebow and he won the Heisman. I mean, I think that's the last time they won inside that building.
That's right. So, you know, you got Florida, you know, go win that. You know, Texas is Texas.
They're going to be really good this year.
They're going to be good. I mean, I'm not a person that sold all my Arch Manning stock. I think the kid can play.
Yeah.
I think it's just a matter of, you know, we had him built up to be a mixture between, you know, Johnny Unitas and Jesus Christ when he was taken up, you know, at some point. And he's Arch Manning. And, you know, so – and Steve Sarkisian can coach football. And so, you know, that's going to be tough. It's – you just got to survive in it. But you got to take it week by week.
You truly do.
See what happens.
It's going to be fun to watch. He's John Cox, our chief legal analyst. I would like to ask one question before we conclude here today. Thanks, everybody, for joining. See that QR code on top of John's head? That's the Ole Miss Spirit. You can follow along at omspirit.com. That's an affiliate of On3. Jay Thompson, Zach Berry do a great job, along with Ben Garrett, Chuck Rounsville, and a cast of many across that message board community. You can log on today, and there's a ton of specials going on, and you can be a part of a very vibrant community, even in downtime like this. Probably the toughest question I'm going to ask today.
Oh, God.
Looking at LSU right now as we sit here in June, at the point of the season, who needs that game more, LSU and Lane Kiffin or Ole Miss? And I don't think Pete Golding is a part of this. He's led the ship. He's done a terrific job. I don't think he's even a part of this, what I'm asking. But does Lane and LSU need that game more than Ole Miss needs it?
Wow. I think Lane thinks he needs it more because he's already qualifying it. Mm. I mean, you know, give us a year. Give us time to get there. I think, and this is another cop-out, if either of those teams lose the first game.
That's kind of where I was going with that.
Absolutely. That's the team that needs it.
If Dabo rolls into Tiger Stadium and beats LSU 21-7, then –
I mean, I'll say this.
Does it help Ole Miss if LSU is 2-0 or 1-1? I think they want LSU undefeated.
Yeah, I think from an Ole Miss perspective, they want them to be 2-0 playoff wise. Because Ole Miss you have to anticipate you're going to lose at some point during the year these days.
Yeah.
But let me say this. And
anyway, I'm sorry. Back to the original question.
So this is going to be just this is a red and blue tinted answer one way or the other. I hope this doesn't happen. An Ole Miss team that leaves September 1-3. I think Pete Golding, I'm not going to say he's happy. He's not. And Rebel Nation is not happy. But I think we're surviving to get into October and we'll see where we are. Because I think there's some Ole Miss fans will be a little more patient. I'm knock on wood.
I'll agree with that.
Then an old Dabo rolls in and wins to be against LSU to open the season, and then Ole Miss beats them, and then A&M gets them. Lane Kiffin is going to hate life at 1-3. He can qualify it however he wants, but there's a lot of money invested in Tiger Stadium right now. So who needs it more? I think LSU needs that game more. I really do. I mean, because they're not – Lane's saying give us a year. LSU, the fan base, says, no. We better get in the playoffs, and we better contend for a national championship. We Ole Miss finished in the national semifinals next year, and I have yet to talk to an Ole Miss fan who says it's either playoffs or bust this year.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're out there, and I'm sure somebody will get on the message board and tell me that that's it. And I'm not saying I'm settling. I'm just saying that is the mindset right now for Kiffin. I mean, they spent a lot of money.
Well, and to Lane's credit, they're backing it up too. I mean, they're really recruiting at a high level in the high school ranks, something that he did not do a lot of while he was in Oxford. But LSU has always been a program that recruits at a high level in the high school ranks.
And I will say this, LSU is good.
Yeah, they are.
They have to come together. They have to understand his system.
And also, I think it helps Ole Miss that they get LSU
absolutely
early.
Play them early in the year, when maybe they're not as familiar with the whistling and changing calls and doing all this stuff. Because if you remember Lane, his first year or two, there were some growing pains there. Mm-hmm. I liken this to Jackson Dart's first year as a starter. There were moments that were great, and then there were moments that sometimes you looked and you could watch Lane look at Jackson like, did you really just throw it there?
Yeah.
Or why did you throw? And some of that may have been the player. Some of it may have been the adjustment to the system. Fast forward 2 years from that, that was a finely tuned machine sometimes when they got to humming, out there. So there'll be some growing pains, but man, LSU's good. Yeah. I tell everybody that. You look at them, I mean, everything that they need is there to be a very good football team, but they're not alone. It's the SEC. I can't name you a team that isn't good.
Yeah, and they're going to need Sam Levitt to come along faster than people anticipate. But before we get out of here, John, you and I stay very close to the state of Mississippi. Pete Golding and that entire recruiting staff. I'd rattle Joyner, the defensive line coach, you know, John Garrison, the offensive line coach. And you look at Frank Wilson, who's is just entrenched in that recruiting core in the South. They're lighting it up right now.
Oh, yeah, it's great. You know, you see however many four stars at 13 or something like
It's 13. They're kind of waiting on a couple of players, but it very well could be 14 sooner rather than later.
That's great. I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, Ole Miss has become kind of the hot program within the state, you know, because of recent success. They want to keep building on that. And Pete and the staff are great recruiters, and they know that's the key to continued success. I mean, and the operations there, we talked earlier in broadcast about the Grove Collective and whatever. I mean, Walker Jones and them, they do a great job. The one plus and one reason why back during the whole, you know, coaching drama that we had, that everyone's like, why would you leave Ole Miss, is that, and I keep thinking, I can't remember the national pundit that said this, Ole Miss hasn't figured out, as of the rules right now, which maybe there are no rules, but I mean, as of what we're doing right now, Ole Miss knows what it's doing. It's paying off. You're watching them, and they're getting recruit after recruit after recruit to come in. And but the key to that's between the lines on Saturday afternoons. So you got to keep winning, you know, to keep them interested. At some point, you know, recruits are just, one of my old college friends used to say that preseason rankings and halftime scores really don't win championships. And so, you know, you got to do it, you know, at the end of the game. So hopefully they will.
We'll have full coverage for you here on the Talk of Champions later on this week. I know Zach Beer and Ben Garrett will have a complete and comprehensive breakdown of recruiting. Jake Thompson doing a great job in day-to-day operations on the beat. And, of course, you can get all of Chuck Roundsville's input on the Ole Miss Spirit. That's omspirit.com, an affiliate of On3. I'm Brad Logan. He is John Cox, our chief legal analyst, and so excited to be in person today, kind of breaking down the world of college athletics and kind of bringing you a little different taste of some things you can get here on the Talk of Champions. Once again, we're going to bring back our balcony sessions at Square Books. We're working with Jeff Robertson on that to get some local people around Oxford, and we'll have that for you here, as always, on the Talk of Champions. Appreciate all of our sponsors, all of you that help make this a very, very special podcast family, and we thank John for jumping on with us here today. I'm Brad Logan. He's John Cox. We'll talk to you soon right here on the Talk of Champions. Thanks, everybody, for jumping on with us. We appreciate it.